3 weeks ago, psychiatrist Robert J. Lifton was on this program speaking about his article in the New England Journal of Medicine, Doctors and Torture. Dr. Lifton, who lectures at Harvard Medical School, wrote in the first sentence of that article, "There is increasing evidence that U.S. doctors, nurses, and medics have been complicit in torture and other illegal procedures in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Guantanamo Bay." Dr. Lifton's remarks did not sit well with many military doctors and others involved in military medicine. Among them, Dr. William Winkenwerder, who is Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs and who joins us today from the Pentagon. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon.
And I should note at the outset that today there is an article in the British medical journal, The Lancet, which makes very similar points to those argued by Dr. Lifton in July. It's by Stephen H. Miles, and it is titled Abu Ghraib, Its Legacy for Military Medicine. First to Dr. Lifton. He said, and I want you to react to this, doctors and medics attended people who had wounds, such as genital wounds, which could only have been caused by torture, and these were mostly unreported, meaning unreported to their superiors. Is that true?
Well, let me just start in answering your question by making a few important statements. First is that investigations are underway, have been underway, that address all aspects of prison and detainee operations. Presently, we are unaware, and I am personally unaware, of any instance in which medical personnel failed to report wounds that were clearly caused by torture, as Dr. Lifton has alleged. And I think one of the more serious things that he alleged was that death certificates were falsified. And again, we would absolutely and categorically reject that any final death certificates were falsified in any way.
Well, you're saying final death certificate.
That's right.
In the Lancet article, I'll read to you one paragraph. In November 2003, Iraqi Major General Mawhush's head was pushed into a sleeping bag while interrogators sat on his chest. He died, medics could not resuscitate him, and a surgeon stated that he died of natural causes. 6 months later, the Pentagon released a death certificate calling the death a homicide by asphyxia. You're saying that 6 months later, that was corrected. But that was an instance, wasn't it, of medics and a surgeon being involved in what was a false death certificate?
No, that's not correct. What the allegation assumes is that the physician or medical professional was present at the time that something like this happened. Obviously, in almost all cases, it uniformly is a situation that a physician would be called in after a person expired, died for whatever cause. And so he or she may not know and may make a preliminary assessment, a preliminary judgment. But that is exactly why, in this particular case and in many others, an autopsy was directed that it be done.
I want you to try to give me your view of what the appropriate role of, say, an Army psychiatrist would be when the policy of the day, as it was from late 2002 through early 2003, was that nudity, isolation, and exploiting the fear of dogs of detainees were appropriate techniques for interrogation. Is the psychiatrist's job to find out which detainees are afraid of dogs and who's more shamed by nudity than others?
Absolutely not. Let me stop you there. I can't imagine that those types of actions would be tolerated or condoned or not reported.
Were there, in fact, reports from Abu Ghraib by medical personnel coming outside the chain of command, coming through to the Pentagon from doctors or medics saying, I'm seeing things that are cruelties. This has nothing to do with caring for detainees.
Not that I'm aware of. However, those types of questions are the subject of investigations. Certainly, I had no knowledge. We had no one that works with me, for me, or at the level of command here had any knowledge whatsoever. We were all shocked to read about and hear about what had happened at Abu Ghraib.
Dr. Lifton spoke broadly of a conflict that doctors, nurses, medics in the service have between their responsibilities as healers and their relationship to command. being realistic about the role that you serve and the issues that have arisen regarding detainees, is it fair to say that there at least is such a conflict that arises, or do you say there is no conflict whatever?
Well, certainly, let's be realistic. People can be placed into situations where they feel or perceive a conflict, but we try to provide as much clear guidance as possible so that the zone for conflict is very, very narrow. Obviously, in a fast-moving war zone situation, there is the military mission, and military tenets would hold that the commander, you know, obviously has to think about the best interests of all involved. And so the commander's decision is one that is respected and in some cases is always going to be final.
Dr. William Winkenwerder, Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.